A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Happy Monday. Welcome in. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Paul Gallant, Joe George, Sean Mapes, and the Astros don't suck. That's how I feel right now, Paul. The Astros take 2 out of 3 this weekend from the Texas Rangers. They take a one-game series lead in the Silver Boot Series. We're 7 games into the season of the series between the Rangers and the Astros. And the Astros looked really good this weekend, besides Friday. Friday was very bad.
Friday was the biggest Debbie Downer during what was a very fun day for me. Got to celebrate my birthday with some friends, got a surprise party that I knew that was happening, but wasn't 100% sure was happening. And then I get there after we had gone to Cultivare for dinner. I take a look at the television. It was 2-2 when I left Cultivare. It was, I think, 7-2 by the time I got to down the street bar, which is where we were. And I thought to myself, what happened? I think the first thing I said after looking up from perhaps blowing out a candle for cookie cake was, what the effing F?
Okay, first of all, cookie cake, sneaky good. You can't go wrong. It's hard to mess up a cookie cake.
Well, if you put chocolate in it, you're messing it up for me. I'm not a chocolate guy.
Then what the hell goes in a cookie cake?
I don't know. But hey, everybody else enjoyed the cookie cake.
I was just like, that's like one of the most confusing things I've ever heard.
Does that make me sound like a person who doesn't appreciate his party? But I got there. You see that happen on Friday, and you're thinking to yourself, oh boy, this weekend is going not to be a bad one for the Astros. And we're going to be talking about gravestones and stuff. But to their credit, they fought back. They made it a respectable final score, 12-8. And over the course of the weekend, 8 runs, all 3 games, something I feel they are capable of doing on a semi-regular basis. You feel better about them.
Much better.
You should feel better about him. I still keep on looking, Joe, at my YouTube channel, and I'm seeing people saying, fire Joe Espada like 3 hours ago. And it's early. I get that we're still overreacting to some things, but I would think that after this past weekend that we're at the very least calm and measured, if not a little bit anxious, about the next 3 games against the Atlanta Braves, who have a very good offense.
Yeah, I mean, you should feel much better because the offense, to your point, after they hit Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker hit that home run, the Astros ran the table against the Rangers this weekend. The offense, this is what we talked about last week. I mean, like, this is what they're capable of every night. They can put up anywhere between 5 to 10 runs any given night with how deep and how good this lineup is. And the fact that you did it all without Alex Bregman, who must have the worst flu ever.
3 days in a row.
That's tough. That's called having a kid, I'm guessing. Is that you got whatever the kid had, he got worse. Because that happens a lot of times.
Yeah, little disease factories.
That's what they are. They are little disease factories.
How many times has little Joe gotten you sick?
Well, that cough I had for like a month, dude, it's from him.
Whooping cough?
It was not.
What was it?
I don't know. I got tested for everything.
I mean, for all I know, I now have this.
Have you been coughing?
No, but
then you're okay.
The pathogens could be in my body.
Mm.
Sleeper cell.
Hey, but maybe that's good pathogens in your body.
I'm sure that whatever had you with a cough for a month, maybe you sound like you're a chain smoker.
Yeah.
Smoking Marlboro Red Packs by the dozen a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is definitely something that down the road could be good for me.
Yeah,
right.
Sure. Yeah.
But you're a doctor.
To your point about Espada.
Mathematician and doctor, Joe George.
That's what we are. I have a doctorate in those things. It's the Astros fan base does not like Joe Espada, it seems. It is.
The poor guy. It's not his fault.
No, because like, what is he supposed to do? Even last night, I saw some criticism about him bringing in Josh Hader for one out. Well, Seth Martinez has been overworked and finally gave up a bunch of runs, and you don't want that game to slip away. So, yeah, just bring in Josh Hader and his cool new entrance for one out. It's fine. Like, oh, just get the win. That's what you needed yesterday. Get the win. You went 2 out of 3 this weekend versus the Rangers. And there is so much more to feel better about because the offense finally produced, mainly led by Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, and Jose Altuve, the 3 best players in your lineup this weekend. They showed up in the best way they possibly can.
Altuve is off to the best start of his career. Statistically, that is a fact. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you look at what he's been doing, 382, second best average in the majors. 1.183 OPS, that's fourth. He has 7 multi-hit games. He has 4 three-hit games, 2 back-to-back, and 5 home runs on the year, 7 home runs and 32 at-bats off of Nathan Eovaldi over the course of his career. That's the most he has against any pitcher by 4. He is the catalyst for all of this, and you got to wonder where the Astros would be if not for Jose Altuve. Say he was dealing with something else, like where he got hit in the World Baseball Classic last year, and it took him some time to get back out there. He's making it happen. As you mentioned, Kyle Tucker had a very good weekend himself. And the issues with leaving guys on base, still there, Joe. But at least they hit with runners in scoring position. They hit .412 with guys on in scoring spots this weekend. So I feel when you have 3 games in a row like this, you can definitely say that maybe some of the bad issues with the runners in scoring position this year are a byproduct of bad luck, and that as the season progresses and as we have a bigger sample size, this will be closer to the middle of the pack.
I have a very optimistic view on this. When you have one of the best lineups in baseball and you like lead the league in hits, you're going to leave a lot of guys on base. You just have more opportunity. Like the White Sox are never going to have this opportunity to leave that many guys on base because they don't get guys on base. The Astros, this math. There's more guys on base, so you can leave more on. I'm going to try to be super optimistic about it. Sean, looks like he's questioning my take here.
No, it makes sense in, like, raw number. Like, they lead the league in hits, so, you know, they're going to have a lot of guys on base. Yeah, and so you're going to end a lot of innings. But, like, I think Paul's going to say, when you lose games because of it, because you don't score enough, then it becomes a problem.
Just trying to be optimistic.
But I'm with you on the optimism here. It is freakish that they are 29th in runners left on base per game. 29th. Only the Pirates are worse. They're really bad. It's per the website I looked at, 8.18 runners left on base a game.
So many.
It's a lot.
That's so many.
That's one an inning.
It's a lot. And when you also look at what their OPS was going into Sunday with runners in scoring position. It's .694. Okay, it's all bad. But I feel like it's going to get better as the season progresses. And one of the reasons that I feel like it will and that all of this is going to even itself out, weirdly, the Yankees are 28th. The Dodgers are 26th. Texas is 24th. Atlanta's 23rd. Lots of good teams are leaving guys on base right now, and it feels like the Astros are flukishly the ones that are really eating it more than any other team. And there's other issues, of course. The starting pitching, big one, lots of injuries. But the lineup is not a problem, despite the runners in scoring position issues.
That's good company to be in. When you said Pirates, that's bad company to be in most, you know, most cases. That's good company. Gives Joe's theory a little bit of credence of, hey, they're
lots
too
of guys
good
on
of an
base.
Offense. That's why they're leaving so many
guys.
Yeah,
there's just lots of guys out there. So the Yankees, Braves, Dodgers, Astros just can't get enough of them home.
I'm going to guess that the Yankees, Braves, Dodgers all have had better starting pitching performances or have at least avoided the absolute, like, trash can fires that the Astros have put up there the last couple weeks.
This past week is maybe the worst week in the history of having a starting pitcher with a baby blowout,
dude,
in the middle of one inning, if not multiple.
Yeah.
4 times in 5 days.
What the Astros had is stunning. You don't even expect 100 lost teams to have what the Astros did in that stretch. And then JP France again on Friday just...
Right, that's what I mean. 4 times in 5 games. And it was against the Royals for the most part.
I know.
You expect it to happen occasionally against a team like the Rangers. We saw it in the playoffs last year with Fromber, with Christian Javier. So it's more like you're frustrated. It does feel like a lot of this is flukish. The starting pitching we could still stay mad at. But the lineup, like it should have carried them in the playoffs last year, should be able to carry them to, at the very least, a respectable spot by the end of the month where we can all settle down and get back into saying, all right, well, when did the playoffs start?
I did see that, and some of this is very cherry-picked because no one said it before yesterday, but the Astros have not played a team that's below 500.
Mm-hmm.
The worst record is the Rangers at 8-8. The Blue Jays are also 8-8. So that's like really pushing it because it's two 8-8 teams. But they have not played a bad team yet. So that's
coming up after these three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is some of it. Is that it exacerbates what the issues are, and you also have a Blair Hindley start thrown in there, which is like, which they won too. But that's, as far as the starting pitching woes, it makes it look a lot worse because they just did not have a major league starting pitcher for that game.
That's bad.
No, that's bad. But in general, that guy won't pitch again.
Exactly.
And that's one of the positive things.
So you'll improve.
And the other thing, too, about this weekend, it helps that, you know, you take two out of three from the Rangers. To your what Sean mentioned, you know, the Rangers are 8-8. You're 2.5 games back. I'm not playoff division watching already, but when you think about the Astros' slow start, the fact that you're not playing a team, you know, you don't have a team in your division that's running off 10, 11, 12 wins already this season, it does just make the record feel less bad. You know, like just being 6-11 and then the Rangers are at the top of your division at 8-8, you've got the Angels and the A's both a game or two games below 500. Your division is not running away with it. So even though all these things have gone wrong for the Astros this weekend, where you're at in the standings, what's coming for this team, which we'll get to here in a little bit, like there's still so much room for optimism. When honestly, they made a game out of it Friday night, I just felt bad. Just I'm watching this game on Friday. I'm like, this sucks.
Yes.
I'm not a big turn off the game guy, but I turned off the game for a while because I was just like, this is Friday night. I don't need to be watching the Astros get smoked again. And then they turned it around this weekend in a massive way. So there's lots of good vibes.
You should be feeling better right now. You do not have to feel ecstatic or elated or say, yeah, they're winning the World Series definitively now. You don't even have to say that they're winning the AL West. But I think you should be able to say that the bats are enough to carry them. And it's really a huge gamble that the Astros are trying to win on right now, where they're saying, we're just going to hope all the starting pitchers get back and it all figures itself out. But the bats are good enough to where it's not the craziest thing in the world, even if that Ken Rosenthal article in The Athletic today asked a lot of very fair questions.
Yeah, we're going to get to that start of the 1 o'clock hour, because I thought I just finished reading it right before you got here today. I thought the Rosenthal article, it's very well thought out. I don't think he is very much he's not really an anti-Astros guy. He doesn't give out those vibes. It's not Evan Drellick, who I know a lot of people think he just hates the Astros. Maybe rightfully so, because they tried to get him fired. But, like, Rosenthal, I think, is pretty new. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that, no.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, the Astros, like, called Evan Drellick's talked about this before.
Uh-huh.
They called a meeting while he worked at the Chronicle with the head of the Chronicle, basically just being like, yo, this dude's got to go. And that's why Evan Drellick hates the Astros, because they literally tried to get him fired from his job. He's talked about that before in his book. It's very interesting.
Oh, actually. I didn't read the book.
That's all right.
I just read the parts that I literally went into that book and I did Control F because we gave us a PDF.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, Yankees, Dodgers.
And you just were like, find all the good stuff.
I was like, listen, I know what happened, okay? And I'm cool with what the Astros did. I just want to find some dirt on other teams.
All right. There is plenty of other reasons for optimism. Not just taking two out of three of the Rangers, but reinforcements seem to be on the way. Plus, we mentioned the pitching. There was two outstanding pitching performances that we haven't even gotten to from this weekend. We'll do that next here on Glotton George on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It was funny listening to the broadcast and pregame shows for Saturday's game versus the Rangers, because you come off the loss on Friday night, and then Saturday, the conversation that everyone's having is just, your stopper is on the mound. Something you would hear for Justin Verlander, or Framber Valdez, or Zach Greinke, or Gerrit Cole, and now it's Ronald Blanco. Ronald Blanco, again, 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Like, finally, you get some length from someone in your rotation. But just once again, he's awesome. I think I'm all in on Ronald Blanco being legit.
It's because the one pitch, it's still the changeup.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that teams would notice how well he's pitched, given that he threw no hitter to open the season and he began the year with the longest hitless streak ever. There'd be a little extra study for a starting pitcher like that, you'd think. And yet, three starts in, doesn't seem like anybody has a solution for that one pitch. It's interesting because we've talked about it before. People talk about how this Blanco pitch is just your standard changeup, but it has not been standard for the teams that he has gone up against, and they've been going up against some pretty damn good teams with him on the hill. I know with Texas, offensively, we're always expecting big possibilities, and man, he did it again. So,
yeah, I mean, his two starts against the Rangers, he's pitched 12 innings and got two earned runs.
And that's a great offense.
Like, not even, he only has nine strikeouts in those two games. So
and they've
not,
seen him now multiple times.
Yeah, like the fact that like in those two games, he's not striking out a ton of guys, but he's just getting guys out, and he looks comfortable and confident out there. And it does, when I watch him pitch, like I know there was early season success for last year for JP France when he came up, and we've seen early season success from guys like Urquidy, Garcia, Javier, when they made their debuts, even Hunter Brown. But Ronald Blanco, like with this changeup, what they've added to his arsenal, it's working so well. And then that gets followed up by Christian Javier, who yesterday goes seven innings pitch and gives it two earned runs.
Where the hell did that come from?
I mean,
Javier getting into the seventh inning, that's why I like him, because when he can do that, and he is capable of it, it's great. I mean, he didn't even hit 100 pitches.
89.
I mean, normally he's hitting 100 in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
At least it feels that way because he has those two 22-pitch innings a game. And in this one, he was calm, cool, collected as he always is, but the actual pitching itself reflected that.
Yeah, he was.
It's kind of annoying when he's calm, cool, and collected, and he's getting shelled by the Rangers. I mean, you don't want him to go from Rivaldo's mode and try to gun down half the Rangers when they come up to the plate because one of them took him yard. But there are moments where I'm like, I wish Javier was pissed off about this because I'm pissed about it.
Yeah.
But when he's looking like that, you got to feel pretty good. And how they get that to be the regular thing for Christian Javier is something I do not have the answer to.
I mean, look, he's got a 1.54 ERA this season. To your point about the length of how deep he's going into games, he's gone six innings, 5.1, and seven innings pitch this season. So typically, if you can get six out of him, I'm very happy with a Christian Javier start. You get, because like you said, we know what that pitch count can do for him because it just sometimes it escalates in a big way. But he's had a really good start to the season. Not, you know, his best stuff at all times, but another just very positive thing this week. And that the thing is too about these two starts, they were desperately, desperately needed because your bullpen was just getting worked constantly.
And if you had a whiteboard or what do they do at those working, those blue collar factories, you know, you have like one of those signs that has been X amount of days since the last accident.
Yeah.
So it's been 2 days since an Astros starting pitcher has had a blowout in his pants.
Workplace accident.
Right. And look, the Astros bullpen has been a lot like J.J. Watt at that Houston Dash game who went viral because he had a diaper in his back pocket.
Look, you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
He said it's not his first rodeo, so I'm guessing he's dealt with a rodeo of blowing out.
Well, first of all, I have a couple criticisms of this.
Oh, okay.
Just have a baby backpack, A. But B,
it doesn't look
easier
stylish.
Easier access, too.
It doesn't look stylish.
No,
the
harder part about this is, like, if I can put on the baby backpacks, because, like, I'm little, and they still kind of fit. Now, it's a little tight. I can't imagine
JJ Watt. Hobbit about to go to Mordor.
Yeah. JJ Watt's not going to be able to put on a baby backpack, so for them to do that, it's not going to work. Also, though, I've done this, and I can tell because I have diapers just, like, in my car. That have just like they don't make it back inside the house. Mm. And they come with you as an emergency, but then they just
in the back seat.
They're just in the back seat. They're just there.
That's smart. You need middle relief, and sometimes you need diapers.
Yeah, that's Joe Espada with Seth Martinez in his back pocket at all times.
He's the handy dandy diaper. But two games, and hopefully the Atlanta Braves do not change that. The Atlanta Braves are certainly capable of changing that.
Yeah,
that's what kind of scares me about tonight.
Yeah, they've had some similar issues, not to the extent of the Houston Astros, but they're in the bottom third of ERA in baseball. They're pitching. They've had some tough starts as well. They've lost Strider. Max Free got blown up twice early on. So right now they are 23rd in baseball with ERA as a team. They have a 4.90 ERA. So they've kind of gotten beat up a little bit too. So this is another opportunity where your offense could be a big reason why, or really the reason why, you, especially when you look at the pitching matchups. What, Hunter Brown is going tonight, I believe it is. Arrighetti's going tomorrow. Names you don't love to hear.
I don't.
At this point.
Especially
J.P. France coming in to clean it all up.
Oh, right. No. Because, look, Marcell Ozuna has the best numbers in baseball right now. Mm-hmm. The Braves designated hitter. He's got a OPS that's actually north of Altuve's. He's hitting .373 and he leads the majors with 7 home runs.
Just walk him, Arrighetti. Don't
Please,
be a hero.
Intentionally walk him every time. Do not pitch to this guy.
Yes, please. The Rangers finally figured that out. They finally just stopped throwing to Yordan Alvarez with Andrew Heaney. Yordan Alvarez's number versus Heaney and Altuve versus Eovaldi, they're like 10 for 15. They just dominate those guys.
Yeah, but with these three guys coming up in the Astros rotation against the Atlanta Braves,
yikes.
I compared it to, it's like when you have three different midterms, like right before the week of spring break, where you're just like, Give me through these 3 days. I honestly don't really even care how they go at this point. I am looking forward to, as an Astros fan, when they get to play the Nationals.
Yeah,
when they get to play when it eases up a little bit.
Okay, guys, exercise for all three of us here.
Okay,
on three, tell me how many games they're going to beat the Braves over the next 3 days.
Okay,
okay,
okay.
Let's all go. 3, 2, 1.
One. Did we all say one?
Yeah. Yikes.
Well,
here's the thing. There's still reason for optimism. Even if they lose 2 out of 3 versus the Braves.
There's reason for optimism when there's no Hunter Brown or Spencer Arrighetti on the mound.
And the thing is one of them will go away. One of them's going away. Because on Friday, Justin Verlander's back.
And then when they go to Mexico City, April 27th to 28th.
Yes.
Framber Valdez, who said he's fine.
They said before they go to Mexico.
And that things are feeling better.
So by next Thursday, Justin Verlander and Framber Valdez are going to be in this rotation. The fact that Framber Valdez does not have to have Tommy John and whatever, I don't know how he got hurt now, because it just seems like literally a bruise. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe he slept on it weird. It is baseball. Guys are known
for sneezing and throwing
their back out. Yeah. So, like, you never know in baseball.
Didn't miss a day, but I have done that before.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, you know, you're a tough guy.
I didn't want to say.
You're not a soft boy.
Yeah. Like these Astros pitchers.
Yeah, soft boys. But the reinforcements are coming. So even if the series versus the Braves does not go well, the sky is not falling. You have three pitchers who have been getting rocked all over the place against one of the best lineups in baseball.
I almost want to change it to zero.
No.
I forgot France was starting on Wednesday.
They can steal one.
Do you know who Darius Vines is?
No, there's no Charlie Morton.
I don't know.
For the Braves in this three-game set.
Who's Darius Vines? That's all I know. That's who's pitching tonight.
There's also a little bit of, like, this Astros offense can just throw up an 8 spot, and so then
exactly. Then
you feel good. Like, then it doesn't matter who's pitching. They again, I can't believe I'm doing this twice. I swear I was going to say his name less in the last couple weeks. They won the Blair Henley start.
Yeah.
They did. They scored 10 runs and won the Blair Henley start. So they don't need one of these guys to pitch like an ace to win. They just need, again, do not have a blowout in the first inning.
Don't be what you've been. Just be. You can be bad. But you can be bad.
Be better.
You can be bad.
You can't say. Be
just
better.
Don't be like nuclear bad.
Okay.
I mean, like,
that's
just be
the Astros' mantra.
I'm not asking
three.
You to be better. Just be a little less worse.
A little less worse. My God, that's your dude, Bears fan coming out.
They've been getting these guys got smoked.
I do kind of agree. Like, if they can just go 4 innings. Just don't get pulled in the
give
first
up less
three
than
innings.
5. Like, they could have won on Friday night. They scored 8 runs, but they gave up 12.
You know, the odds are just suck
a little less.
The odds are against them constantly having starts where the pitcher lasts that
Hunter
long.
Hunter Brown has a track record.
We can't all have premature getting pulled after two-thirds of an inning.
They've just been.
There's some medication for that, I would think.
Whatever it is, they need it badly.
Someone on the Twitch and Fuentes Respector, I don't believe that he did this. This has to do with something we just talked about. He says he wasted like $1,000 on Hunter Brown rookie cards, patches, and autographs this offseason.
Yikes,
dude. Sir.
This is that's worse than a gambling addiction.
That is
me. I know like
that is alarming.
I know baseball cards are back. Like that's a thing again.
And you have to try to buy low, but like
that doesn't sound like you're buying low in Fuentes unless you're buying like bulk.
Yeah, buy them now, honestly.
How much in bulk does he have?
That's what I'm
wondering.
Is he
going to start his own Hunter Brown pop-up store?
So he says...
Like, I imagine he's going to wait until he turns into Verlander like he's supposed to.
I mean, he says here that he bought... Originally, the rookie patch autograph cards were $100, and he bought them at $38 to $45.
Oh, dude.
And you have $1,000 worth of these?
Dude.
That's a lot. I'm not doing the math. It's a lot.
Do you think Hunter Brown's family would pay for that?
No.
I'm asking the question.
No,
I'm not answering it.
I don't think they would. I mean,
they buy it under somebody else's name to make him feel better about
it.
So
no one needs a good start out of Hunter Brown more right now than in Fuentes.
And Fuentes Respector needs it real bad. Hopefully it's
just
coming.
Just because he bought 23 or 25.
Six innings, three earned runs. I'll take it right now.
Yeah. I mean, look, you at this
we
point.
We all make bad investments.
And you got to hold on to that at this point. Like, you can't.
Oh, he needs to win like a Cy Young.
Because, like, they're worth like a dollar now. Like if they were 38 to 45 this summer or this last year. I mean, we're 15 at this point because he stinks.
He's not good.
Hopefully, he doesn't stink forever.
He needs to be like good, too.
Yeah, you need him to be Justin Verlander.
Well, that's not happening. So give up on that.
Short term, it's not happening.
He tries to impersonate him. Yeah. You
although
know?
I've seen maybe Justin Verlander in his rehab starts is impersonating Hunter Brown.
That's interesting.
Yesterday was not his fault, though.
I didn't watch. I've seen people make this case. I do not care.
All I know is that I read a Twitter thread that his AA defense was very AA defensey yesterday, and they made a lot of bad plays.
Again, did not watch. Sure, I'll take your word for it.
Where do you watch? Like, what are they? It's the Hooks, right?
Yeah, Corpus Christi Hooks.
I couldn't remember which team he was on yesterday. Like, where do you watch Corpus Christi Hooks baseball?
It's a good question.
I imagine they have a
the
stream
ballpark?
Somewhere.
Yeah, at the ballpark.
You drive all the way down there?
Buy a ticket to Whataburger Field?
Mm.
I mean, in beach weather, there's beaches there.
It's the worst places you can go.
I hope there's better beaches there than here.
Actually, this one was in Frisco, though, because I remember it was game.
Gotcha, yeah. Okay.
Frisco.
Another text. This is from Eric the Driver. And
I saw this.
But this is me. I have to address you, too, okay? Because I have a brand, okay? I'm not a loser, okay? No offense. Love you guys.
Wait. Well. Am I a loser?
He's calling you a loser.
From the text line, Eric the Driver, you don't have to be better. Just don't be worse. Sounds like something a battered sports fan would say. I can have Joe saying that. I can't have you saying that, John. I can't have you saying that. We have a brand, okay?
I was going to say something.
We're elitist.
Look. That is my brand.
We are elitist, okay? We're trying to get Joe. We're essentially doing Pretty Woman, except for he's not a hooker. Or, My Fair Lady. We're trying to make Joe an arrogant sports fan, okay? But you can't endorse the... You don't have to be better. Just don't be worse. You cannot endorse that.
Why not?
I'm saying for
they're
the
minor
Joe
leaguers.
Can say it. We're going to get him out of his
I'm
funk.
Saying Spencer Arrighetti. Just
yeah.
Be a little bit better.
Yeah, Hunter Brown.
Give
just
me
a little
something.
Bit.
Show me something.
No, he has to be better, Sean.
No, he does. But I'm saying against the Braves.
Yeah.
Improve.
Yeah, we're thinking about
improve.
Like, we're not talking about these games. We're talking about the next games. We want him to be much better.
He could throw the same stuff against the Braves and not be worse and give up more runs because it's the Braves and not the effing Royals.
True. But the Royals could be good. So maybe he just got beat up by a good baseball team.
I hope that's the case.
You know, trying to be...
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know. battered sports fan syndrome. I have it.
It's crazy there's only two guys we trust and one of them is Ronel Blanco.
Yeah.
I know. What the hell?
Yeah. And to your point, we're trusting Justin Verlander, who's given up, I think, 13 earned runs in two starts.
He's just working on his stuff.
Just working on his stuff.
That's what those guys say all the time. It must be nice.
It must be nice.
You know, like,
working
if,
on my stuff.
Should we say that when we get bad ratings? I'm just working on my stuff.
I'm just working on my stuff, man.
I want to believe that there's some like double-A like grinder type who's like actually cares about winning and losing these Corpus Christi Hooks games.
Yeah.
And every time a star pitcher comes in, has a terrible rehab start, and is like, you know, I felt good out there. Yes, they kept hitting it all. I imagine, like, this second baseman who's 31 years old, this is his career, is just, like, seething, being like, you know, working on some
I think Bagwell told this story yesterday.
Oh, is that after his propaganda?
Yeah, his propaganda. Everything will be fine. Or at least right now it looks better. But he was saying everything was going to be fine before J.P. France got spanked on Friday night. But he was telling the story yesterday about how when his last year in baseball, he got sent down to the minors, but they were in a playoff push, so they batted him ninth because he was washed, and he knew it, and they knew it, and they didn't want him to screw up their playoff chances, so they batted him ninth. I was like, you know what?
I respect that. The cojones on that Round Rock Express.
Oh, I
manager.
Know. I think it's whoever the manager was is on the Astros. Is a bench coach for the Astros right
Man,
now.
Man, if only Jeff had taken that same approach with Michael Brantley and Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu.
To be able to tell when people are washed.
It would be nice if someone could tell when somebody is washed.
He's always the last person to know when someone is washed, whether it's himself or anyone else.
All I know is we went 35 minutes before you mentioned the name Jose Abreu, which might be a record.
Hey, he had a two-hit game.
You're right. He did. He also got benched twice. So.
Well, hey.
All right, the Rockets season. It's over.
Let's get you to bed, Jose.
The Rockets end the season 41-40 win, a 19-win improvement from last year to this year. Is anything about this season not a massive success? We ask that question next year on Glant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
We're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Rockets end their season 41-41. 19-game win improvement. They win their last two games of the season. And this season, to me, it's a huge success. The players,
huge success.
Yeah, there's only one real bummer.
What's that?
I wish there would have been more clarity with Jalen Green and just this team, because it's the only part of, like, I know Alpi's good. We know there's so many reasons to be excited about Cam Whitmore and Amen Thompson. The veteran players, I know I'm not the biggest Dylan Brooks guy, but Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks were very good for this team. You know you have a great coach. Just the Jabari Smith, I thought, was much improved this year. Jalen Green, just the roller coaster. You know, we talked about this on Friday, the chunks of games where he would average like 15 points a game and then 25 points a game, and there were very small chunks where it was at the peak. It still leaves a lot to be desired about the consistency and just how he fits into this team.
So more consistency than clarity. Clarity, I thought you might be going down the road of knowing whether or not he's going to be on this team
a little bit
going
of that
forward.
Too.
That makes sense. Green did show he belongs and that he has a lot of talent and that you have to be very, very, very careful about moving on from him. I think that this season was a success. Joe, my big frustration, though, is that I have a hard time looking at it in totality as opposed to just the last couple of games of the year. They had a lot of tough games on the schedule. So losing 6 of 7 to fall out of the play-in tournament, it's not the craziest thing in the world. And they did get red hot and won 11 games in a row. But to go from winning 11 in a row to losing 6 of 7 and to have effort called out, it leaves a very bad taste in my mouth.
That's fair.
So I'm trying to think of what kind of drink or what kind of food this is similar to. Because I think in totality, you're satisfied, but the aftertaste is something else.
Oh, I know. We've talked about this recently.
What's that?
I told you I'm going to buy a bottle for us. The Houston Rockets are a bottle of Malort. It gets the job done.
I don't hate Malort, so I can't push back, but a lot of people seem to hate Malort.
The worst part is the aftertaste, in my opinion.
The aftertaste is terrible.
Yeah.
The actual taste of Malort is not as bad as it's made out to be.
Yeah.
But a lot of people hate Malort. So I don't know if we would be able to get the masses to agree with us on that.
A lot of people hate Dylan Brooks.
I am one of them, clearly. I'm trying to think what else. I mean, some people just don't like tequila. Like, they don't love the aftertaste of tequila.
I was thinking it's like, you know how some people, it's not celery, it's cilantro. Whereas cilantro tastes like soap to some people. Mm-hmm.
I still don't understand that, but
maybe
I've heard that.
That's what it is.
Houston Rockets are cilantro.
Mm. Yeah.
I like cilantro.
Cilantro is very 41 and 41.
Yeah.
It is. No one is like, love it. Oh, my God. Just give me a plate full of cilantro.
No, you got to have it with something else.
Yeah, it's 41 and 41.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair. I like cilantro. So they're
I also like cilantro.
I like cilantro.
I think that, or not the Astros, the Rockets had like A-minus year, B-plus.
A-minus.
Have you ever met anyone that cilantro tastes like soap to them?
Yeah, one of my best friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure if that was one of those things that actually existed or things that people
just
said.
It's weird because we always had tacos. This is one of my friends. We'd make tacos in college. I mean, not good ones. Sorry, we're Yankees. But
No, you're telling me in Syracuse, New York, you weren't making great tacos.
But there were we would put cilantro in it, and he did not like cilantro.
Okay.
And we found it out the hard way because I think we put it in without telling him. And he was like, ooh, what's this?
But one of the things I like about I like the Ime Udoka. Maybe that's the biggest win. Of why I feel more optimistic and positive.
This isn't
Rockets.
A one-year run with Udoka where he had two great star players, I feel like. Yeah, there's this culture that he is establishing. It seems to be real and more real than, I don't know, say someone like Doc Rivers. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like there's actually something that he has created here and that the young players who he is teaching how to be professionals, there seems to be a level of respect for his hard coaching, which, considering Steven Silas was here last year and had to be a huge adjustment, is a good sign going forward. Obviously, it wasn't perfect. We had the Jalen Green saying they're not using me the right way through the media, moment that we had in February.
Directly to the media.
Right.
Direct messages.
So there is that, but it did feel like Udoka's the right guy, and I guess the next step is really the big question. Do you roll back with this next year? Do you really just see, okay, let's see if anyone can get better, or do you say, no, let's go get someone? It does feel like the ownership's going to pressure them to get someone.
Yeah, I lean that way too, that there's going to be a splash this offseason. And the way Ime Udoka talked at the end of the season, you know, about, you know, having to call them out for effort, that leans to more of a culture change within the organization about just different players on the roster that are going to be motivated to that. And one thing I found interesting was that Jalen Green included all these players, and they won 19 more games this year than they did last year, and they were all very clearly disappointed that they did not make the playoffs.
Jalen Green said that the expectation that he set for the team was 44 wins.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's literally doubling.
Yeah, you wanted to double your win total. I like the aspirations.
Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it.
And they got close.
Yeah, that's part of the disappointment when all these guys say that they're disappointed. A, you like that. No one's throwing a parade for being the 11th seed. But then, like, on the one hand, I get why they can't say it. But from the outside, I am like, well, 41 wins is 41 wins. Like, would you rather, you know, just if you could magically put them in the East and they win 36 games and then they're 10 seed, like, is that a better year? That's not a better year. You didn't play better. So there is a little bit of it's just kind of circumstances that you didn't meet your expectations where you won't, again, you went 41-41 in the most competitive Western Conference. They're the best 11 seed in NBA history. Like,
yeah.
They literally won the most games in 11 seed history.
Since the play-in tournament was created.
There we go.
Yeah. Since the play-in tournament was created in 2020, the only year that you go 41 and 41 and don't make the play-in tournament is this year. Damn. Every single year. I mean,
in the West, too.
In the West, yeah. I mean, there's years where 42 and 30 was the seventh seed. So it's like, that's the COVID year, so that might be a shorter season.
Yeah, that's probably.
That is frustrating. It is frustrating when you have a record that should get in and doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. It's like going 11-5 in the NFL. And
yes,
just like
I was about to bring
out.
That up. The 08 Patriots did that. They went 11-5 and missed out on the playoffs entirely.
It's crazy.
Yep.
That is nuts. Yeah. That gets like, whoa. Didn't make the playoffs without Tom Brady.
And the fact that they didn't...
they were 11-5
with Matt Castle.
And the fact they didn't change the playoff rules after that season, like, kind of surprised me when you
look back. No, because the Patriots don't bitch about the rules, unlike the Ravens and the... who was the team? The Bills.
Overtime, so hard, we can't score. And then there's the Saints. Was it the Saints or the Rams?
The Saints with the pass interference.
Pass interference.
The Colts
they were right
with the illegal, illegal touching.
The
or
Patriots.
Whatever.
You know what the Patriots do? They do what the Astros do. They cheat. They just cheat.
And they win.
And they try to win.
Is allegedly. Hunter Brown the Astros? Mac Jones. 713-780-37.
Gross.
But
what a gross thing to say.
I can only make the comparison.
Bringing it back to the Rockets. Season is a success. Sean, I remember when we were doing the show together back before the start of the year, you were saying, like, hover around this play-in area.
Yes, yes.
So they did that.
Yeah, no.
So it was a success.
I think I literally said, like, compete for the play-in.
Right.
And that's even when I thought, I think we all thought that the Grizzlies were going to make the playoffs with with Ja Morant, be healthy Ja Morant, and even still – they won 41 games in a competitive Western Conference that could have been more competitive with the Grizzlies. So yeah, they might have actually, like, in the preseason, I might have said be the 12th seed in the West because of the 11 teams that should be better than them, and they actually exceeded that expectation.
Hell yeah. Okay.
And won probably five more games than I said they should.
So you're giving them an A, Joe. What would you give them grade wise? A minus.
Not a full 4.0.
I'd say a B plus.
Okay, I'm going B.
Yeah.
Going B. Because I'm a hard grader, because I went to a good school.
But I also think that Şengün, like, breaking out and playing, he was 29-6 or something. That is something to build on. Like, you did get a breakout performance from one of your young guys. It just wasn't Jalen Green.
Yeah, and part of it for Amen Thompson and Cam Whitmore, maybe more, it's a more Amen, because he's everything I think you could have asked for. In his rookie year, I mean, he got his first career triple double in yesterday's game, but the way that he plays, like the passing, the effort on defense, the speed in which he can get up and down the court, is if he can just figure out a jump shot, even if he can't, I'm excited about his future as well. So it feels like when you look back at the draft, that they did a good job there.
They did a great job.
Yeah, it feels like
they
hit. Yeah.
Remember when we found out where they were in the lottery? We're like, are you effing kidding? They're not even second; they're fourth.
Yeah,
Remember when. We were, like, not even in Scoot Henderson range.
Yeah.
I think
sucks.
It looks like... I mean, now Brandon Miller's pretty good.
Thompson looks really good. And obviously, Cam Whitmore, how he felt.
I know.
Before the draft, I was like, wait, isn't he supposed to be top 10?
That's all I knew about. There's a little bit of... They might choose Whitmore over him. Or they're, like, deciding between those two. And they ended up with both of them. And they both hit in their rookie year. Again, they checked a lot of the boxes that you would want to check for... What defines success for this season? It's just Jalen. I mean, honestly, it's Jalen Green. The fact they didn't make the plan was like the two biggest, marks against them.
Yeah, and if I made like before the season, the play-in tournament would not have been on my checklist for the Rockets this year. To be honest, like I did not think that they were at that point, even though they added two veterans. So that's why it's a good Rockets season. We'll see what happens next. I expect it to be at a bare minimum, a rumor-filled offseason. I don't know if he's joking or not, but Jeremy Branham is also accusing Boban of point shaving. So we'll talk about free chicken, because Houston loves to give out free chicken. And the ref show was very apparent also this weekend, watching the Houston Astros. That's next year on Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So twice this weekend, the Houston sports teams were the heroes that America deserved. Well, first, Jose Altuve hits one off the foul pole, free chicken for everyone, and then you have Boban.
Yep,
and Boban the Clippers have a rule where if you miss two, the opposing team misses two free throws in a row, everyone gets free chicken. Now, Boban, once upon a time, of course, played for the Clippers. So now he's played for like 80% of the NBA, so he probably knows all the rules everywhere. So they're chanting for him to miss the free throw, and he misses it on purpose.
He's going to get suspended from the league?
I mean,
come on, guys. This is a league that has integrity. We just had a gambling scandal not too long ago, right? We had a guy who, I forgot his name already.
Jontay Porter.
Who was using, I guess, an injury that he was dealing with and slamming the under on his stats. Here's Boban clearly missing a free throw on purpose.
Mm.
I like Boban.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Craig Ackerman met the moment, I'll say, with a play that will live in infamy, maybe, perhaps?
Might be infamy.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to you. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
No, they gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. He's a man of the people.
You think he did that on purpose?
He did. He gave out free chicken.
I love it. First of all, great job, Ryan and Craig. They've been very fun this year. There's a enthusiasm listening to those games that there was not before. Because like the last like two seasons at the end of the game, like, 3 points for Jalen Green. And now everything's exciting. So I love that moment.
Can
it's
I
great.
Throw something out here? I get it. It's game 82. The Clippers played someone named Xavier Moon 46 minutes.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
Neither did I. And he played almost the entirety of an NBA basketball game. He did miss the second free throw. He missed both free throws, but he missed the second one. He decided to miss the second one. It's an 8-point lead with 5 minutes left.
That yeah, it's not great.
That is not an insurmountable lead, Boban. I get it. No one really cares. I get it. Nate Hinton played 25 minutes. But I think if that's a game they lose, then we get an Ime Udoka post-game press conference with, you know, some guys just didn't take this game seriously.
They could have been sub-500.
They could have been
yeah.
To end the year.
They're fighting for their 500 lives.
I definitely think, like,
it does matter, though.
It does.
It does matter. Because now they can, you know, hopefully in 5, 6, 7 years, we can throw out the stat. You know, Amin Thompson and Cam Whitmore have never played for a sub-500 team.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, their rookie year, they were exactly 500, and they won a game because Xavier Moon played 42 minutes.
That or the upcoming very positive blog coming from a fundamentalist, radical Rockets blogger saying, could the Rockets be the team to make the leap in 2024, 2025?
Could they be the one seed next year, like the Thunder?
It's
right,
coming.
Because they finished the season at 500. So to go back to Boban doing this.
It's risky.
When it happened in the game was risky. And I can't imagine Ime Udoka like that.
No, this seemed very anti-Ime Udoka.
That's what I stumbled upon when Dell and I talked about this was, I mean, obviously we know a lot about Boban. Everyone loves Boban. Kind of a big, lovable, goofy giant of the NBA. Ime Udoka does not seem like the type that would be very pleased to have like this, like, oh yeah, here's their sideshow giant who, you know, we'll play around with the mascot, or we'll knock the ball off the when it gets stuck between the shot. I just can't imagine Ime Udoka like cracking a smile at like some of the antics that you get with Boban.
I'm trying to remember if there was any moment where Taco Fall was still on the Celtics, while Ime Udoka was there, because he was their version of that,
yeah.
Right? Like, he's just this big 7'6" guy named Taco.
Yeah, it's a sideshow. We can just call it what it is. Kind of a sideshow.
It definitely is. Does Boban have plausible deniability because he's a crap free throw shooter?
That is true.
No,
he did raise up his hand in celebration
so
afterwards.
That hurts his case. But yes, he can play the like, hey, check the back of the baseball card.
I'm not good at
this. Cannot make these.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. But yeah, for a coach that, I don't know if we've ever seen Ime Udoka smile. Like, Maybe when he called LeBron a bitch, he smiled as he walked off the court.
Yeah. He smiled when he gets thrown out of games. By the way, Taco Fall, not on the one Celtics team.
Okay, but, so he hasn't. This is his first sideshow experience.
Yeah. Well, he was also the assistant coach for the Brooklyn Nets.
Is Boban not going to come back next year because of this?
Probably not because of this.
Would it shock you if like Udoka's like, yeah, we can't deal with that.
It does
like,
suck.
We can't have,
the nonsense.
Yeah, we can't have the nonsense.
It does suck that a lot of Dodgers fans got free chicken out of what Boban did too. When you think about it, because it was in L.A., you know, like the Chick-fil-A thing.
Paul, are those Dodgers fans or those Angels fans?
Well, I was gonna say it's a Clippers game. They might be Astros fans. I can see why they're moving out.
I'm trying to see if this is his first sideshow. I was trying to see if he ever coached like Brian Scalabrine or something like that.
It's a different kind of sideshow, but he coached the KD Kyrie Nets.
That's true.
But he was an assistent on that staff.
That's true.
Different kind of sideshow, but still a sideshow.
Not a mid-game, like, fun sideshow.
No.
Yeah, that's
off-the-court disaster.
Our shenanigans are fun and lovable. Yeah. Their shenanigans are sad.
Ours are in the center of the culture war shenanigans.
Yeah. Bunch of stiffs.
Harden was on that team?
41 stiffs. That's all I know. That's what?
They only got to 500 because that stiff missed the last couple games.
Yeah, if the stiff was out there, they would have made the play-in tournament.
Well, which stiff are you talking about? You talking about the giant stiff?
The Turkish one, not the Serbian one.
I'll leave it up to interpretation. is it
okay to call him this? We got to ask the question.
I don't know if we can. I don't know the rules of shortening it to Serb, but we can definitely say Serbian.
It's honestly probably good for the station for us to
He's Slovenian
to call people of all races stiffs.
Yeah,
right?
Everyone's a stiff.
And I would assume if you're 7'6", you are just like by nature a little stiff.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd be shocked.
He lumbers down the court.
He's the same height as Victor Wembanyama. No one's calling Victor Wembanyama the French stiff.
Yeah, well, here's the thing.
Not yet.
Boban's not putting up 17 points in 3 minutes. Holy crap, Victor Wembanyama on Friday.
He's Serbian, thank God.
Dude.
I thought we might get in crap if he was Croatian or something. That
Oh, yeah, that'll start a holy war there.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back.
Catholics versus Orthodox.
We'll get away from the dangerous topics.
That's all right.
I see. Now that we've started, my eyes are flickering. Yeah, I was like, please, get away.
Cancel us. Ken Rosenthal, is he right about the Houston Astros and their chance to get to the ALCS for an eighth straight time? When we get back, we'll talk about that. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Le Berge Lake Charles. Paul, Sean, myself will be there next Wednesday. We're driving up after the show. Great place to go bet on your Texas teams. If you would have bet on the Rockets over win total there while you were there, you would have cashed that. So there was 33.5 this year. Probably going to be in the high 30s, low 40s, I would imagine, for next season. So if you want to get in and place a wager on the Astros, the Texans, the Rockets, whether it's a day of game or a future, you can do that at Le Berge Lake Charles. Great sports book, including there. You can play blackjack, roulette while you watch the games. But overall, great casino, great restaurants. So when you go to Le Berge, make sure you download the Penn Play app. And when you do, you have a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Play cash. And don't forget as well, when you go to Louisiana, also with Le Berge, it's a Penn Entertainment property. So you can download the ESPN Bet app and bet with them as well.